It's time now for Focus on the Foothills, a program exploring the issues and opportunities facing Wilkes and surrounding counties. Now here's your host for Focus on the Foothills, Angela Henley.
And good afternoon and welcome to Focus on the Foothills. My guest today is Josh Hamby with Exchange International. And Josh, it's good to have you with us on the program today, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Angela. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. Now, Josh, give us a little background on yourself. Where are you from?
I am from Bristol, Virginia, originally, born and raised.
Bristol, Virginia. Now, what exactly is Exchange International?
Exchange is a nonprofit organization based in Abingdon, Virginia. It's where our U.S. headquarters are. And we are just a group of people that are passionate about the world and about the gospel. And we, in 2012, we started up Exchange to do education development. So we go into villages in rural eastern Africa and we start schools, or we work with existing schools in the villages to help them raise the quality of education, and we plant a church along with the school and just help the community to really reach its potential through education.
Now, Josh, are you pastors or preachers or evangelists, or are you just disciples for the gospel? You're just spreading it wherever you go?
You know, we are, a lot of people say that we're missionaries, but, it's really hard to call yourself a missionary when there's people like Adoniram Judson and Hudson Taylor and Amy Carmichael that, kind of pioneered missions. And so we just consider ourselves Christians working in another country. And none of us are really preachers or pastors or anything. We are more of the academic side of missions, the humanitarian side. So it's a blessing to be able to love the people in Africa as our neighbors through education.
Now, where specifically in Africa are you working? Is it all over the country, or do you target a certain area?
The only country that we're working in right now is Uganda. And I've been going to Africa for about 10 years now, but Uganda, I really settled on that through through the Lord's hand and direction about 4 or 5 years ago. And so we're working in Uganda right now. We have plans to expand into some of the neighboring countries in the next couple of years.
Actually, Josh, it kind of sounds like to me that you guys are just fulfilling the Great Commission. When Jesus gave that in Acts, I don't think he was just talking to preachers. I think he was giving it to everyone to go into all the world and to spread the gospel. It sounds like what you guys are doing in Uganda.
Yeah, we would like to think that. I mean, we're just trying to be obedient and the Lord said to love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we go into these communities and we see the potential that's there, there's nothing that we won't do for ourselves to reach our own full potential. If we believe we have the ability to do something, we'll try and do it. And so we're just trying to love the people over there as if it were our own self. And so we do that by just trying to expose the potential that they have by giving them an education and doing all sorts of fun art classes and engineering things just to help them pursue their interests.
So you're actually, you're helping them spiritually with spreading the gospel, but then you're also helping them with physical and actual needs that they have.
Absolutely. The gospel is our foundation. One of our taglines is, just as an education is to the future, the gospel is to eternity. And so we don't want to produce educated thieves. We want to give them the gospel, and we want to give them Jesus above everything else. But it's really difficult in parts of the world where there's so much need just to go in and give the gospel and nothing else, because
right,
there's so many needs that they have. And so it really opens a lot of doors when you go in and say, sit down with them and say, we see the potential that your community has and the initiatives that you've already started. Let us just be your friend, and let us be a part of your village and a part of your family and help you do that. And in the process, like I said, when they start asking questions about, why are you doing this? You're not from our tribe or our country. That's a wide open door to share the gospel with them.
Now, a lot of different areas in Africa have had civil strife within themselves, have had influences from Al-Qaeda and other things. Have you encountered this sort of thing in Uganda with being some civil strife and infighting and some Al-Qaeda influences?
You know, Uganda has, specifically northern Uganda, has a history of wars and violence. You know, there was a big push recently on the child soldiers, the LRA and Joseph Kony. But for the most part, in our experience, pertaining specifically to Uganda, it's history. You know, Uganda's a healing country, and it's a country that is just leaking potential. And so its history has put it in a difficult position, but specifically where we work, in the geographical area that we're in currently, there's not a whole lot of that. It's a relatively safe and peaceful country now, which is a big blessing for us.
Now, how are you able to go in there and work? Do you have to get permission from our country, from their government? How do you coordinate so that you're actually able to go in there? And are you free once you're there to do and to follow through with the plans that you have, or do you need to get permission along the way?
You do have to get permission, and that's expected, and that's okay with us because we want to be respectful to the government and let them know what we're doing. We did have to register as what's called an NGO, a non-governmental organization, in Uganda. And so we're registered with the Ugandan government. They know who we are and what we're doing. And we try and work with them as much as we can. You know, there is a lot of corruption, and so a lot of times it is difficult to work with a corrupt government because you're always being asked for bribes, and, you know, there's a lot of red tape involved. But, you know, generally speaking, we do have to get permission to do what we do. And like I said, we're registered in Uganda, but we're registered in the U.S. as well. And so all the governments and authorities involved know what we're doing, and we do have permission to do that.
Well, now, you mentioned that you like to work with them on some engineering thing and building schools and building up their community and helping them with their potential. Is it best for you to try to move supplies into Uganda, or are you able to take funds in there and then purchase the supplies while you're there? What works best? Now, you mentioned the corrupt government. What works best to get around that?
You know, we, as far as the supplies go, we do everything locally. And, you know, we even had a company recently called Rightfully His. It's a little stationery company, and we just developed a partnership with them to where every time they sell stationery, they wanted to send stationery to Uganda to our kids. And what we ended up doing is they actually give us a percentage of their income now based on their sales, and we purchase those materials locally. Same thing with building supplies and things like that. We purchase all of it locally because what that does is that pumps money into the local economy, and it allows for countless people that run the construction supply stores and the school supply stores in the market to feed their family because we're giving them money for their products and services. And, you know, the government, kind of the same way. The less stuff you try to bring into the country, the less you have to deal with import taxes and fees and bribes and all that stuff. So really, we found it most beneficial and most efficient to just purchase everything locally and hire local workers.
Now, when you go to Uganda, is it like a rotating group of professionals? Because you mentioned the engineering and building things, and then providing schools. Do you have educators and medical folks that go with you each time you go?
Well, in January, I'll be moving to Uganda full time. My position is the executive director. You know, because most of our work is based in Uganda, that's taking me over there full time. We have been blessed with an incredible team of people. Even though we're new, you know, we've only been around since this year, but we've had some incredible people really buy into the vision that the Lord is building. I'm personally not an educator. My education is in kind of anthropology and missions. So we have to bring in people that are experts in education. We have a curriculum writer in Indiana that's going to be working with us to help us write some curriculum. And everyone that teaches our kids in Uganda will either be Ugandan or American, and they'll be experts in their respective fields. So we'll bring in some of the best artists from the country of Uganda and bring them in to teach art classes. And, you know, with our construction people, we'll hire the best construction engineers to come in and work with the village. And then what we do is we ask them to point out talented people. So if an artist comes in and teaches art, we follow up with the kids that seem to be particularly good at it or really seem to enjoy it, and then we try and expose that and give them opportunities to pursue it further.
Right. Now, the teams that come over there, do they stay for just a few weeks at a time? You said you were moving over there full-time, but the teams that come over, do they come over at different times throughout the year?
They do, and I've been taking teams to Uganda, not through exchange, but through a couple of other organizations for several years, and most of the time people just come for anywhere between 10 days and 2 weeks, sometimes upwards of a whole summer. And in 2013, we actually have several groups and individuals coming. A lot of them are coming for just a few days or a few weeks. And then some people come for longer. It just depends on what their profession is and how much time they can get off work and all those factors. And they stay with us locally. We have housing available in the city that I live in called Jinja. You know, it's safe, and so it's a great place for teams and families to come.
So, can churches that maybe have, you mentioned teens and families, if you have churches, I know there's some locally that take young people, teenagers, to different places doing missions work, could they get in contact with you and plan a trip to do that?
They could, absolutely. You know, and our philosophy in working with churches is that we exist for the church. We don't want to be that organization that says, the local church, if you'll pay for it, we'll go out and do the Great Commission, and you can stay here in your pew. We want to be the organization that says, you're a part of the global church along with us, and it's our responsibility collectively to fulfill the Great Commission. And so our theory in working with churches is we meet with pastors and we say, what is your vision for missions for your church, and how can we help you in that? How can we incorporate our contacts and networks and work in Uganda help you build your vision for missions for your specific body? And so that's been a really big blessing to kind of turn the tables on that a little bit and not just run mission trips, but really develop deep partnerships with churches here in America.
All right. Again, we are talking with Josh Hamby. He's with Exchange International. This is Focus on the Foothills. We're going to find out more about Exchange International, about the work that they're doing in Uganda. How can you can be a part of this, and more exciting stuff coming up on Focus on the Foothills right after this.
We honor our name with our service.
Experience. Our experience.
We've got over 25 years in the pest control business, so if bugs are bugging you, here's what you should do. Call our friends at Quality Control at 667-5050. They offer commercial, residential, and industrial pest control service with monthly or quarterly service. Call 667-5050 for Quality Control.
Experience. Our experience.
Get your list and check it twice for all of your shopping needs at Southern Candle. Candle of the month, Bayberry, one of their 10 Christmas fragrances. Get 15% off all sizes off Bayberry all month. Other delicious Christmas fragrances include Cookies for Santa, Mistletoe, Christmas Tree, Branded Fruit, Candy Cane, Cranberry and Apples, Cinnamon and Spice, Mary Berry, and of course, Bayberry Candle of the Month. Ornaments, wreaths, decorations, three flavors of mullein spices, including sugar-free. Gift wrapping is available. Heartfelt greeting cards, $2 for $1. Southern Candle, 915 Cherry Street, North Wilkesboro.
Feliz Navidad from Monte Del Rey, where you're invited to join them for delicious Mexican lunch or dinner. Fajitas, tacos, burritos, salads, chimichangas, enchiladas, and tummy yummies for the children. Each meal is served with nachos and salsa and a sweet treat. Gift cards make a tasteful gift for Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas from Monte Del Rey, Winkler Street in Wilkesboro. Call 903-1276.
The time of death is traumatic, an occasion of considerable emotional and financial strain. In these circumstances, it is extremely difficult to make prudent decisions. Pre-arrangement allows families to decide their cemetery needs thoughtfully and without pressure. Take the opportunity now to spare your family the added burden of making last-minute burial arrangements at a time when they will be least prepared. Call Scenic Memorial Gardens at 667-6339 or come by our office at 545 Moravian Falls Road in Wilkesboro for more information.
She inherited land from her father. Julie worked hard. She built a home on the land for herself and her young daughter. When Julie was laid off from her job, she went back to school for retraining, and it looked as though it might be too late to save her home because the lender had initiated foreclosure proceedings. Fortunately, Julie contacted the Northwestern Regional Housing Authority and was approved for a 0% loan. This assistance comes from the U.S. Treasury, the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency, and the Northwestern Regional Housing Authority. Call today and speak with a certified counselor. Both the call and the counseling are free. The toll-free number is 855-268-5422, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Find out how you can help with donations to the Ruby Purdue Blackburn Adult Daycare Wish List for activity supplies and personal needs by calling 667-2541. If you're concerned about your loved one's safety and care during the day when you're away, the Ruby Purdue Blackburn Adult Daycare Center provides a safe, home-like environment with skilled nursing, meals, and activities for adults from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. weekdays. Medicaid and VA approved and a United Way agency. Ruby Purdue Blackburn Adult Daycare Center, West Park Drive in North Wilkesboro, 667-2541.
And once again, welcome back to Focus on the Foothills. My guest today, Josh Hamby with Exchange International, doing some kingdom work, I would call it, in Uganda, and meeting the spiritual needs and the physical needs that communities have there in Uganda. Now, Josh, right before the break, we were talking about churches and that you wanted to work with churches together to do the work that is needed here in Uganda. If churches are listening, churches or groups or individuals, and they have got a hold of this vision here and would like to be a part of this, how would they go about getting in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with us is through our website. We have a contact us form on there that will send us an email directly. And that's the best way to start the conversation, is just to contact us. And the same way with donations, if churches are wanting to just make a donation, they can do it by contacting us or doing it on our website. But we love having conversations with people, and even individuals, even if it's not a pastor or someone representing a church. We have a lot of individuals that are just seeking their position and their place in the global missions and the global Great Commission. And so they're welcome to contact us as well, and we love conversing with people about how they can be used through Exchange.
Now, what is your website?
Our website is exchangeinternational.org, and Exchange does not start with an E. It just starts with an X. So exchangeinternational.org is our website.
All right. So X-C-H-A-N-G international.org.
Correct.
Now, again, when you said at the beginning of the program that you go into these communities, and do you kind of send in a preliminary team to do an assessment of what is needed, and do you have folks that you work with locally in Uganda to establish the needs and what communities you need to go into?
We do. All of our assessments on the communities that we work with are done by local Ugandans that have college degrees from a university in Uganda on a topic like education or community development. So we bring in the most educated people we can find in Uganda to really give us their assessment on the community. That way we're not going in with a Western mentality of trying to figure out what they need and don't need, because a lot of times that's really difficult for us to determine, and so we do use locals on that.
So you actually need to work within their culture and their way of life, as opposed to just kind of going in and changing everything.
We do, and that's the best way to work, is to go in and work within their culture. And, you know, one of the most amazing things that we've seen is, we went into Uganda initially thinking that we were going to go over there and start schools. But what we found is there's so many people in villages that have started their own little school just because they're so passionate about seeing the children in their village go to school. And so we haven't even started, per se, our own school yet. We're finding people that have already done it. And so we're just piggybacking off of their vision for their vision for their own community. And it's worked out beautifully. It's worked out really well.
So you're just providing kind of a support for the work that they've already started.
Exactly. And we know, you know, without, I don't think it's, you know, conceited for us at all to recognize and realize that we have some resources that are of benefit to them. And we have some funding and some education professionals in America that can really boost the quality of education there. But for the most part, we go in as learners, and we sit down and say, how can we buy into your vision and make this school that you've started grow and become a significant part of this community? And it's been a real blessing to work with them on that.
Well, now, I would imagine that will be easier for you to present the gospel and everything else that you do when you come in and work alongside, as opposed to coming in and trying to take over the reins.
It's true. And I think that's the same way that we see throughout Scripture, getting on people's level with them. And it's not even so much that we are on a higher level and they're on a lower level. It's once you go in, you start to really realize that we're all broken people in need of a Savior. And so once we establish that connection, the luster of us being Americans and, you know, the generalizations they make about every American being, you know, wealthy beyond their wildest imaginations, all that kind of stuff starts to go away and to fade, and we start to become humans, and we start to become, you know, on the same playing field, and that really opens some doors for the gospel.
Absolutely. Well, again, you'll find that all throughout the Scripture. I know I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul at Mars Hill. He kind of stood there and looked around and saw what was going on, and he, on their level, not that they were higher or lower, he was higher or lower, just on their level, he began talking with them just to get their attention so he could work with them. And it's the same way that you're working with Ugandan people.
Absolutely, yeah. And Paul said he became all things to all people.
Right.
To the Jews, I became a Jew, et cetera. And so that's been, I think, one of the most fun parts about what we do is we just get to go into these villages and just be one of them and just eat what they eat and live where they live and just become a part of their family. And it's an overwhelming sense of community when you start to become a part of one of these villages. It's a true blessing.
Well, now, pardon me for not knowing, but what language do they speak in Uganda?
English is pretty widely spoken, you know, because that's the best way for, you know, people to be involved in an international economy is to know English. But they have a national language called Luganda, and that's spoken widely across the country. And then depending on where you're at, you have your northern, you have Acholi in the north, you have Swahili in the far east, and you have all of your smaller village languages, Lusoga and Lugisu and all these things. So there are several hundred languages actually all over the country that we deal with.
Wow. So do you need to learn these languages? Do you work with interpreters? And how do you go about getting Bibles? Do you present Bibles or have those available?
We do. We can purchase Bibles in the local language in Uganda. I specifically am doing the very best I can to learn Luganda. So by knowing English and Luganda, for the most part, you'll be good pretty much anywhere in the country. And then for the times that we encounter people that don't speak English or Luganda, we'll work through interpreters.
All right. Again, we are talking with Josh Hamby, Exchange International, doing work for the cause of Christ in Uganda. Again, we're about to run out of time, Josh, but if folks want to get in contact with you to find out more about Exchange International, again, give us a website. And is there a phone number?
There is a phone number. They can call us at area code 540-526-7020. I'll give it to them again. It's 540-526-7020. That's our office. And our website is Exchange International, no E on the front of Exchange. So it's just the letter X, ExchangeInternational.org.
All right. And Josh Hamby, we appreciate so much the vision that you have for these people, and I hope people will commit who are listening today to be praying for you as you move full-time to Uganda in January, and we just pray God's blessings on you and your work there, sir.
Thank you so much, Angela. We really appreciate it.
All right, and Josh Hamby has been our guest today. Thank you, Josh. We appreciate you sharing with us today. Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And Josh Hamby, exchangeinternational.org. Again, that's with an X, X-C-H-A-N-G-E, international.org. And their number, 540-526-7020. And this has been Focus on the Foothills. Coming up, check on that weather forecast.
The Coats for Kids Drive continues at Wilkes Telecommunications. Bring your new coat in for a kid and take your pick of one of these great offers. Sign up for 3.5 megabits or faster internet and you'll get a month free. Or upgrade to the Digital Premier Premium TV package and save $20 from your next bill. Pick one or choose both when you bring in a new coat to Wilkes Telecommunications for the Coats for Kids Drive. Wilkes Telecommunications. Local people, global results.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Focus on the Foothills here on Hometown Christian Radio, a program aired each Thursday at 105, exploring the issues and opportunities facing Wilkes and surrounding counties. Be sure and join us next week for another edition of Focus on the Foothills on Hometown Christian Radio.